The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I almost said good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't been gone that long. Hey, you're here. You know where you're at. National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Live from you, from me to you, from the studios, Republic Broadcasting Network. Already the 4th of November, 2010.
No Prop 19.
I'm sorry?
No Prop 19.
No Prop 19? I have no idea. I'm trying to get myself into some sort of groove, and now you just threw me a curve from left field. What the heck is Prop 19?
Marijuana.
What do I care about that?
Jeez.
Well, thank you for contributing to the program today and helping your host get on track. Well, that's what I pay you all those big bucks for. At any rate, thank you to my host down there in Atlanta. Very interesting things going on. You know, and I did not realize how many Tea Party people were in Georgia. Man, they're tea partying all over the place. Unfortunately, and let me not rain on the parade of the people that are getting involved and at least displaying their anger. There's going to be a Tea Party hangover. Somebody has spiked your tea. Because, yeah, okay, Rand Paul, I guess he got senator from Kentucky. Yeah. But Harry Reid from Nevada, hey, Harry's still left alone. He's still there. The Democrats lost control of the House. But, ta-da, they're still in control of the Senate. Which, 17th Amendment, there shouldn't be any control of anything except the states having control of their ambassadors or the senators from their own state treating in Washington, D.C., as it should be treated, almost as if it's a foreign entity. Now, try talking to Tea Partiers about that little deal, and they'll look at you and go, huh? What's the 14th Amendment? Sarah Palin didn't tell me about that, or Dick Armey didn't tell me about it, and Glenn Beck certainly didn't tell me. Well, yeah, Glenn Beck did kind of touch the 14th Amendment by asking Tea Partiers that he interviewed, if anybody brings that up in your Tea Party, what are you going to do? We're going to ostracize them. Well, congratulations, Glenn Beck, my little gatekeeping friend. We're going to make sure that the Tea Party revolution, we just get weak tea. Down here in Texas, I got sweet tea. You can't get iced tea in Texas without a half a bag of sugar in it. Can I have some lemon with that sweet tea, please? And might as well throw in some Kool-Aid, too. You can't screw it up any more than it's already screwed up. At any rate, we'll get all of this on track. Thank you for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. I will start to make some kind of sense after this break.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
I think I took care of my producer problem interrupting. Rush Limbaugh has snurdly. I told him, I said, you know, if you're going to keep interrupting my minuscule train of thought here on air, I am going to make you a part of the program. He says, well, I have a microphone. And I said, yes, I know you do. And, well, if you're going to make comments, you're going to get me off track. I'm going to bring you up on the air and we'll see what you have to say. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll quit before I go on air. Like a bunch of other fair, easy party ticket, tea partying patriots. Gets a little hot and you opt out. Yeah, okay. Gosh. And yet you're still talking. You are still talking in there. You going to open up your mic? Then shut up. Okay, then. All right. That was all in jest, folks. It was interesting taking this little flight over to Atlanta, GA. Man, you know, word has it on the street, on some pretty hotsy-totsy suburbs of Atlanta, GA. Guess what the well-heeled people are now starting to believe? The wealth is not coming back. They're getting the idea. Isn't that where Home Depot guy, some Jewish fellow that brought himself up from nothing, didn't come from money, but built Home Depot, was worth about $25 billion, even he's getting it. But you see what the problem here is, folks. And I don't care if it's the owner of Home Depot, or I don't care if it's a Tea Party or whatever it is. They're all standing around with their hands in their pockets, with this dumbfounded look on their face, looking at each other like, whoa. They don't know what to do. They don't even know what question to ask. They don't even know how to formulate a question, an intelligent question, to get an answer to their cancerous dilemma that they're faced with right now. You know, I was listening to Mike Rivero here before I went on air. I always have him playing. We've got a phone system here that, well, when you call up the network and somebody puts you on hold, you'll hear the broadcast, right? Well, we have this phone system, and you just dial in a code, and you can hear what's going on air. So while I'm prepping for the show, I just love listening to Rivero. I mean, it's just, you know, this guy is like, whew, full bore, lit up on both ends, and he doesn't stop for 2 hours. And he's one of the few hosts that I have seen that religiously, I mean, it's like he's got a stopwatch or a timer that it's two hours for airtime. I've got to prep for 2 hours, and he does this every single day. He's a consummate professional about that. So that's why he's not stumbling and fumbling for the stuff that he wants to talk about, man. He's already got that stuff scripted and done. Anyway, listening to him about the body scanners. And there was a story that I had put up on the republicbroadcasting.org, this Michael S. Roberts. This guy is a pilot, and he says, you know what? No, I don't think I'm doing the body scanners. If you didn't read the story, then probably what I'm going to tell you is not going to make any sense. So go up and read it. American Patriot airline pilot fed up. And, you know, I was telling the story to the TSA people, down to GA and back from GA. And it's rather fascinating. You know, I'd start the conversation with something, and by the way, I was really happy and friendly and smiley. Not overtly, but, you know, non-threatening and non-terroristic-like. Going through these. I didn't get body scanned, by the way. I would not allow them to do that. I would opt out. And that's what they're calling it. If you don't want to go through these x-ray machines and show your genitalia to the world, then they, TSA, officially call it an opt-out. And then that's a three-alarm fire. You know, oh, well, we got to wand you and we got to touch you. And yeah, tell you what, you want to touch me, it's going to cost you per hour. And my rates are extremely high. $1 million a grope, okay? But I was not overly friendly with these people, just non-threatening to them. And you'd be amazed what you can say while you're going through these stupid little lines. And they've gotten much better. They finally figured out that if they tell the people exactly what's required of them, then there's less anger. People are resigned, though. The problem with this is they're resigned that this is what I have to do in order to get on the plane to go do business or go see grandma or whatever the case may be. And from what I've been seeing, a lot of this kind of acidic attitude has been taken out of show me your papers, please, and your genitalia. So, having said all that, going through these things, you know, and everybody knows, by the way, and I mean everybody out there knows of this Michael Roberts. I was talking to pilots. I was talking to TSA people. I was talking to passengers. This guy, man, he went viral. Now, I don't know if he's still, we've put in a contact. I want to get him on air. But this story, I was amazed. You know, my little test ping, you know, kind of like a sonar ping. Well, let's drop this and see what comes back. Oh, and you could tell that it was a topic of much discussion because there wasn't any hesitancy on how a lot of these TSA people responded. Not pilots, but the TSA people. Well, you know, what pilot doesn't want to know that the passengers on board their planes have been properly screened? Really? Well, you had your metal detectors, and then you had the threat of, well, we're going to strip search you, or we're going to put our fingers where you probably wouldn't want us to put our fingers, and, you know, this is what you can't have in your luggage, and we know that's already going to be x-rayed. I mean, this is going to keep going and going. They're for probably technologies they've not even invented yet. They're going to use them on you in the future. They don't even know what it is, but trust me, if it's for security and safety and people like Michael Chertoff can make money, trust me, it'll be in use in the future. But it's rather fascinating. They're getting a lot of pushback on these body scanners. So I'd simply go through, hey, by the way, you know, did you hear about that pot? Yeah. And then you'd get immediate response, which told me that they were discussing this in length because their opinions are already made and their opinions shot back to me at the speed of light. So I'm just having a ball with this, by the way. And coming back, I hit finally last night. I lost my way in Atlanta Airport for, I think, 6.5, 7 hours. I missed a flight, which enabled me to go and terrorize people with the truth and information. I was having a ball. I really was. But coming back, now understand that the Austin-Bergstrom International Airport down here in Central Texas, folks, yeah, and let me put it to you this way. On a weekday, at 9 o'clock at night, you could fire a cannon off. You wouldn't hit anybody, but there wouldn't be anybody to hear the cannon go off either. It's kind of dead. But there was this whole gaggle of about 12, 15 TSA guys, you know, very educated and fit people they are too, by the way. I don't want to get into that, but woo. We're getting the people that can follow orders, folks, and they ain't the sharpest knives in the drawer, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying about that of all governmental or TSA employees, but that seems to be the case. At any rate, I planted myself right in the gaggle of those people, all the blue shirts, and I was just having some fun. Smile on my face, real friendly. Oh, by the way, guys, did you hear that Bin Laden, they found him in Pakistan? Yeah, we heard that. All of a sudden, they stop, and their attention turns to me right in the center of them. I said, but you know what my sources told me? And I says, I've since verified it. I said, Bin Laden's been dead since December of 01. Really? Well, yeah. And I said, you guys don't think the government tells you the truth? And they all started laughing. So I'm looking at this, and I'm going, what the heck am I looking at here? Who are these people that I can just be friendly and drop a few bombs on them, so to speak, and all of a sudden they become human beings that are interested in what you're saying, rather than little robot substandard automatons that are very good at taking orders and barking at you and getting on the walkie-talkies and calling for help if, well, you give them any stuff. And that's standard practice. The way around that, be friendly, be sincere. You know, the one thing they're not looking for is a terrorist that's really happy. You know, they're looking for the furtive eye glances and, you know, unusual moves and, you know, not making eye contact with people. They've already declared us the terrorists, so let's have some fun at it. But it's psychologically what they're conditioned to. And when they have somebody that's imparting information on them and actually filling them in on some real fact, and they're doing it in such a way that, hey, man, this is obvious, you know? Hey, come on. You know, do you believe what the government's telling you? Well, you know, you got a point there. Duh. So, I mean, very, very fascinating. It was almost being in a surreal state for 3 days. It was just, it's almost indescribable, folks, the experiences that I've had in and out of the airports. But at any rate, I just had to tell you about that. I always have fun on my little ventures. Always. Tea Party people. Crap load them in Georgia. And I've seen just about everybody pop up and claim responsibility. You know, this is like a false flag terrorism thing. Oh, yes. yes, that was ours. You know, we take responsibility for that. No. There's a lot of people out there that claim that they're the start of their tea parties. Well, and the confusion is coming in. There's different chapters and different people involved in tea parties all over the country. and they're all claiming that they started the Tea Party. Really? I thought it was Ron Paul with his revolution, and the adjunct to that was his Tea Party.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
When I was down in Georgia, friend of mine down there, he says, were you aware of this, the Webster Dictionary deal? Now, we talk about, you know, 1984 and how it was Emmanuel Goldstein. He was the enemy of the state and all the stuff associated with 1984, the police state and you know, all that other stuff. And when they want to redo history, they just send it down to the boys there with the little glass cubicles and little vacuum tubes. And we'll just redo this story. Paste this picture, and here's the story associated with it. Could even be the same story the following week, only with a different face. Well, there has been kind of a war going on with words and meanings and how they've been changed. And specifically before and directly after the Civil War, because we had Reconstruction. That's when the 14th Amendment came in. And by the way, don't anybody worry if you're Glenn Beck fans. Glenn's going to, he's got your back, man. 14th Amendment, not important in the least. Really? So how do you go ahead about flipping a government and its very structure and the meanings of words? Don't look at the 14th Amendment, because Glenn Beck said not to. Another gatekeeper. And I don't even want to get into the subject of gatekeepers today, because I discovered a big fat one. Well, actually, I think I've always known it, but I've finally quit arguing with myself about it. Somebody said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm half Italian, a quarter German, and a quarter Irish. I'm always arguing with myself. At any rate, Joe Rory, which is big down in Georgia, he wrote a piece about Noel Porter, and he was the editor of the 1864 Webster's Dictionary. Now, this guy, and this goes a ways back, he was a Skull and Bones guy, and the infamous Order of the Skull and Bones out of Yale. And after he graduated from Yale in 1931, he became the member of that Skull and Bones, just that little group of people. They have no secrets. Don't pay attention to that. They're nothing. Just another conspiracy theory. Well, after graduation, he became a congregational minister for 10 years until 1846, until becoming a professor, and this was his title, a professor of moral philosophy and metaphysics at Yale. And he rose to be Yale president in 1871, a post he held until 1886. And he died in 1891 at the age of 75 in New Haven, Connecticut. Now, in most cases, the point of this, a dictionary is merely a compendium of word usage. It's all that it is, descriptions. And we can expect words like table or chair, glass, tree, or whatever. And these words would be devoid of political implications to be defined in keeping with their common usage. Now, this Joel Rory guy, he uncovered what can only be described as a dictionary conspiracy. Now, I'd heard this before, but I've never read the material. And it's rather fascinating. Prior to 1864, there were two dictionaries and enjoyed equal market share in homes, classrooms, and libraries. The Dictionary of the English Language, that was Joseph Worcester. And then there was Webster's Dictionary, that was Noah Webster. By 1830, Webster charged Worcester with plagiarism, and that began what was known as a dictionary war. The war lasted until Worcester's death in 1865. Isn't that timely? Though the plagiarism charge was dismissed early in that war, subtle maneuvers had already was indicating that Webster had friends in high places, gave Webster's dictionary distinct market placement advantages. By the time Worcester died at the age of 81 years of age, Webster's was, is now proclaimed, America's dictionary. Now, let's move to expound on what Joel Rory discovered here and enter into the evidence of these two dictionaries, Webster's 1844 dictionary and Webster's 1864 dictionary. To begin with, words are very important in describing government. For instance, the definitions of federal or confederation or state or even e pluribus unum, Congress, alliance, democracy, and union, to speak only of a few here. And what he says, he said, I'll brief you on each one, then select just a few quotes directly from the two dictionaries for comparison purposes. Federal was changed from denoting a confederacy to acquire a national meaning. Confederation remaining the same except for the second part of it. The United States are sometimes called the Confederation. Sometimes. Wonder why he left that one out. State was changed from an independent political body to a national dependent, and in later editions further reduced the states down to nothing but territorial units. An example here, e pluribus unum, was changed from one composed of many, many states confederated, to one government formed of many states. Congress was changed from the assembly of the delegates of the several states to the assembly of senators and representatives of the people of the nation. He's starting to see where this is going. Alliance remained otherwise the same, but struck out had been that part stating, oh, the Confederacy or a Confederacy of the States. Democracy was changed to mean the same as a republic. See, this has been going on for a long time. You folks remember that me saying on the air that, you know, a lot of these politicians keep referring to this country as the world's greatest democracy. I'm sorry? We skipped the break on accident? No, we skipped the break on your accident. What are you... Prop 19, you out celebrating? Are you high or something? Well, then pay attention to what the hell you're doing. Jeez. Can't even pay for good help nowadays. You better be careful. I'm going to replace you with one of Obama's people. Maybe I'll go down to the airport down here and pull one of those TSA people and put them in your chair. I'll be safe. At any rate, so this was changed. We have these word changes going on. Now, let me give you some quotes here to specifically point out what I'm talking about. Congress, and this was from Webster's 1844 edition, and this was retained until 1864, and then they changed it again. The Assembly of Delegates of the several British colonies in America, which united to resist the claims of Great Britain in 1774, and which, in 1776, declared the colonies independent. The Assembly of the Delegates of the several United States, after the Declaration of Independence and until the adoption of the present Constitution and the organization of the government in 1789, during these periods, the Congress consisted of one house only. That's right. Remember? 17th Amendment, senators wasn't popularly elected, so we had one house, two parties. The Assembly of Senators and Representatives of the United States of America, according to the present Constitution or political compact, by which they are united in a federal republic. And remember, I said that they changed that federal, meaning its true meaning was the Confederacy. The legislature of the United States consisting of two houses, a Senate and a House of Representatives. Members of the Senate are elected for 6 years, but the members of the House of Representatives are chosen for only 2 years. Hence, the united body of senators and representatives for the 2 years during which they hold their seats is called one Congress. Thus, we say the second session of the 16th Congress and have a clear understanding that the parties making up that Congress were delegates from their respective states to a political compact entered in by the several United States assembled in a federal republic. Now, all this was in the 1844 definition by Noah Webster. And how many times have we heard that Noah Webster is such a great guy? He was a great American. There's a few quotes thrown out there, and this is supposedly representing all of what Noah Webster was. Uh-uh. We dig out the facts, folks. Only the facts. Let's move on to the 1864 edition here. Congress, post-1863, by the way. The Assembly of Senators and Representatives of the People of the Nation, especially of a republic for the purpose of enacting laws and considering matters of national interest and constituting the chief legislative body of the nation, no longer the several states, but one nation and one citizenry instead of the independent citizens of the several states. And again, let me remind you, you all know where this is heading. E pluribus unum, pre-1964, one composed of many, the motto of the United States consisting of many states confederated. E pluribus unum, 1863, definition, one out of many, one composed of many. The motto of the United States is being one government formed of many independent states. Pre-1864, on the word federal, pertaining to a league or contract derived from an agreement or covenant between parties, particularly between nations, consisting in a compact between parties, particularly and chiefly between the states or nations, founded on alliance by contract or mutual agreement as a federal government, such as that of the United States. Also, let's do the post-1863 definition of federal. See if you notice a change. pertaining to a league, contract, or treaty derived from an agreement or covenant between parties, especially between nations, constituted by a compact between parties, usually governments or their representatives, specifically composed of states or districts which retain only a subordinate and limited sovereignty, as the Union of the United States or the Sonderbund of Switzerland. I don't know why the hell they threw that in there, but they did. Constituting or pertaining to such government as the federal constitution, a federal officer friendly or devoted to such a government. That's a definition? Now, about this time, a second book bearing, as Rory puts it, a second book bearing cat-up, laying before me another dictionary that was supported our findings with that of Merriam-Webster Company and what they had done. The newcomer wished to participate in the efforts of our group, as he too was fresh out of the bag bearing information of a similar kind and believing it needed to be entered as corroborating evidence. Since the emerging practice in America was to manufacture new definitions and let many natural meanings just pine away and just waft out of existence, I guess, this cat bore proof of whole process in a collection of dictionaries he'd obtained while researching the issue. Bragging of his volumes, he stated that in 1864, absolutely no other dictionary in the world carried the same definitions as this edition that we just cited, while pointing out that even Merriam-Webster Company had for 36 years stuck with the original and true definitions, and only after the appearance of the corrupt edition did other dictionary companies follow the trend. Yep. They meowed like two cats sitting together before heat, I guess. They were out of the bag. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the rest of this, but just to get you kind of assimilated here as to what was written in dictionaries, description of our government prior to Civil War and then post-Civil War. And, of course, what that comes around to is that wonderful 14th Amendment. The Reconstruction, the official, we're dumping the states, you're no longer really sovereign, we're the bad boys, we're the top dog, that being us, the federal government. And the states are now subordinate to the law. Now let me pull out, before I go any further here, just to remind people, as to what, and this, I'm weaving this all back together here, so bear with me. These wonderful people that are now in the Senate, that are now in our Congress, the people that believe that this is the greatest democracy ever on the face of the earth, well, they made it that way. They made it by way of the 14th Amendment. And with the passage of this 14th Amendment, citizens changed from being citizens of the states. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, John, would you get on with it? Would you make your point? Look, this is about our nation's history, and I'm not going to hold an Evan Littlewood speed reading course on something as important as how we got flipped and we went from the de jure to de facto. So if you don't like the explanation, please do me a favor, go listen to somebody else, because that ain't me. As I've said many times, and I'll keep saying it, is you cannot diagnose, you cannot determine what the problem is, or the solution to the problem, I should say, without first understanding what the problem is. So in other words, to detect the defect and to make us whole once again. And if you think that is a waste of your time, then you're a... Let me not say it. You're a candidate for the Palin Tea Party, people. He said it anyhow. Yeah, that's right, I did. With the passage of that 14th Amendment, citizens changed from being citizens of the state to the citizens of the federal government. Nationals of Congress, meaning U.S. citizens. And I read you what John McCain, and this is how you know that. And if you, and the importance here is, and let me underscore this so nobody misunderstands this, The reason I'm saying Glenn Beck is a gatekeeper is because he knows what the issues are, and he'll quietly just dismiss them as if they're nothing at all. I just wait till I come back for my next segment. Maybe I'll stand on my head. Maybe I'll strip down to my boxer shorts. Maybe I'll have an onion in front of my eyes so it looks like I'm crying spontaneously. He's an entertainer. And I see people out there that want to emulate what he's doing, but they're going to do it better. They're going to be the new Glenn Beck. They already are, but the people haven't realized it yet. But that will be subject for another program. Way down the line. Because people are already starting to wake up. At any rate, why this is important is because you, with the proper information, don't need somebody like me telling you what the rat bag guy is or the false prophet is. The more that you understand and you know, you're not going to need anybody else to explain it to you, because you yourself, without spending any of your precious time, you're going to know BS when you hear it, okay? You will be able to identify without the assistance and hand-holding and help from somebody else. You're going to be all grown up, and you yourself, rather than being the student, can now become the teacher. We got too many students. We got too many people that want to follow. We don't have enough people that have enough brain power to collect this important information, make the distinction, make up their minds, and then become educators, real educators themselves. You want to be a nation of followers? Go right ahead. You want to become that? You want to maintain that? You want to continue to be that? We're going down, and we're never coming back. Did you hear my words? Does somebody want me to repeat that? Was there a word that I just said that you did not understand? If you do not become educated yourself, you're going to depend on somebody else's meanings or phrases or nuances or maybe an explanation of the world and the way it really is. And you're going to sit there and go, yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to join his little party. And then only to discover that that party has been run over the high side and you're on your way down. And maybe you'll have time enough to think about it before you hit the bottom and you do the dead cat bounce that, oh my, I've been duped again. You know, we weren't always this stupid. And please, don't anybody call me today and tell me it's the fluoride in the water. Because I was on that same fluoride as you and your neighbor. Is there something about the fluoride that came out of his tap in his house that 50 feet beside their house, there's your house, and you're not brain dead? So let's forget the fluoride argument here. And somebody tells me that one more time. It's important. Yeah, it's a deadly cancer-causing. Yeah, I know all about that. But how is it that they can ingest the same thing, they're still asleep, but you're awake? So don't give me the fluoride argument.
Well, we've got to come up with a reason why American people are so stupid.
I got the explanation, and I've been trying to tell you why they're so stupid. Because they want the short version. They want the crib notes. They just want to know, don't give me a lengthy explanation. Just tell me what I think I need to hear. And I'll go to my water cooler tomorrow and I'll tell my people in the office, and when they ask me an intelligent question, I'm going to look at them and go, well, I don't know. Know your subject matter, people. Become the teacher, not the follower. Do not be dependent on others to do the thinking for you. You know, sometimes I feel like an emotional tampon, that I'm just here just to make people feel better. And stop their cranial bleeding. I mean, seriously. Who the heck wants that? We need, God forbid, we need a million John Statmullers in this country. Oh, my God. Whoa. Oh, now there's a horrible thought. But you see my point. Citizenship, folks, is the foundation. That's why this whole damn Tea Party thing is so laughable. It started out with a bunch of really ticked off people that, well, We're tired of this, and we're not taking it anymore. So somebody slipped in there, gave them their emotional tampon. The Republicans hijacked it. Well, they busted up the cabal of the Democrats in the House. But what is going to change? You've changed the faces in some different places, but it's going to be the same old broken record. Nothing is going to change because the system of government has been intentionally broken. And if you do not know how it has been broken, how can you ever repair it? How can you ever restore the republic? You will be living in a perpetual democracy, being led around by your nose for the person that sounds the best, and, gee, I think I'll vote for his party. Man. Citizenship, folks, is the foundation of all nations of earth, whether they be free men or just lowly little subjects. Citizens of the states were free men. And more importantly, the creators of America's system of government. Our founding fathers were citizens of their respective states and were not citizens of the United States. Citizen of McCain's federal government, the citizen of Senator McCain speak of was a creation of the government and has made citizens subjects, not freemen. They have made them subjects subordinate to the federal government. And how's that been working out for us? Everybody satisfied and happy with that? Let's take a short walk through the untaught American history. From Ex Parte Knowles, 5 Cal CAL 300 to 302, this is an 1855 case. And by the way, that happened before the really never really ratified 14th Amendment. That's another history is written by tyrants that want to hang you, not necessarily today, but make the trap to hang you tomorrow. This is what the case said in 1855. There is no such thing as a citizen of the United States. States, not the United States government, nationalized foreigners, the object then to be attained by the exercise of the power of the naturalization was to make citizens of the respective states. In this case, you heard the key word, was one about naturalization by the states. On August 29, 1866, the year Congress, or this newly formed government, when they to be reformed, I should say. Let's not jump ahead of ourselves. It's coming up right next. Proposed that 14th Amendment. Senator James Blaine gave a really good promotional speech for the amendment in Skowhegan, Maine. He provided the intent of this amendment. He said, "We intend to make citizenship national." The citizenship, being national, was non-existent, as I just told you in Ex Parte Knowles, states and what it said about it. It would have to be created or established in law, and the 14th Amendment was to be that law of creation and defining. The bigger plan behind the creation of the national citizenship was to establish the needed foundation for the coming new system of government, the national system of today. This was to be the citizenship of the federal government that Senator McCain spoke of. Prior to the amendment, the United States was without a citizenship, as only state held a citizenship, or a person of the sovereign states, or the sovereign republics. Remember that long-forgotten term? The United States was not a state, nor a sovereign, rather an agent or a servant of the states, or supposed to be, with limited and enumerated delegated powers. The 14th Amendment was pronounced, ratified on July 9, 1868. From U.S. versus Anthony, 24, it was Fed case, 14,459 in 1873. Quote, "The 14th Amendment creates and establishes and defines in law citizenship of the United States," meaning you are a U.S. citizen. From 1895 to 1896, Harvard Law Review, Volume 9, page 311, quote, a citizen of a state is now only a citizen of the United States residing in a state. National citizenship, citizenship of the United States, a U.S. citizen, was the foundation for a new system of American government. A citizenship foreign to our founders, a system of government rejected at the 1787 Constitutional Convention. The foundation of all nations of earth is citizenship. Today's outcry is take America back, restore it. Well, that first step is going to reclaim our heritage as citizens of the state status, what the founders intended, and the foundation that was America. Without this first step, you party bangers out there, you tea partying people, without that first step, there is no hope to ever take back America. The 14th Amendment wasn't ever ratified. And if you want to, we'll get into that if you so desire. But you've just changed a few faces in a few places. How do you think that's going to work out for you?
Business owners, save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. Free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
Zayelza! I stole that from Mike Rivera. I love that thing. At any rate, you see where I'm going with this. And nothing is going, and I got to tell you, You know, I applaud the Tea Party people out there. You know, they were derided by the other people. Oh, those tea baggers. And I'm not even going to go into the definition of that. You know, the down low people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people don't even know where that expression came from, but at any rate, you know, it's the new America. It's the new normal.
Yeah.
Unless terms and definitions of who and what we were, and in many people's minds and hearts we still are, we just have a little problem. Their government's been flipped off from under them like an Aunt Jemima flapjack, and they don't know why. What good is it, folks? Let me ask you the important question here. What good is it to wrest control away from a known socialist and communist only to give it back to the people that put you in permanent servitude? And then you're happy about it, and then you celebrate it. And you don't even know what just transpired. You don't even know what's going on. How is that? You might as well just elect Obama in 2012 for some more change, because that's what you're going to get. You're going to get more of the same, only it's going to be getting much, much, much worse. Article that I had posted on the website over a year ago. And what we're really talking about here is global power and a global government and the evolution and the revolution of the central banking system. You know, did Michelle Bachmann during her little thing, or even Rand Paul, did he get up there and say, well, look, the problem here is the Federal Reserve. The problem is how control of this country has been wrested from us. And the people that are in total control right now to guide everything where they need it to go for their accomplishment of their world government. You know, this is not a theory, conspiratorial or otherwise. It's just a fact. You know, did you hear any of these Tea Party people talk about the global order? Did you hear them talking about the New World Order? Oh, the Tea Partiers were defined as tax protesters. Did you know that? Oh, well, that's the tax protest party. It's not even really an official party. It became kind of the unofficial new label for the Republican Party. Oh, and what Grand Society... Every headline of every newspaper that I saw since the Tuesday elections... Republicans won. What should have been under that, or what should have been in the headline itself, is America really lost. Not because, and this wasn't just a vote against Democrats, as they wanted to tell you. I mean, there were some real people out there that started to understand what this thing was about and started to infect the body politic with truth. What's the deal? What's really going on here? And still, it's just boiled down to its simplest terms, so, you know, the average person can understand it. We don't want to overcomplicate things, because you see, politics isn't really that complicated. It's what the little dastardly people do once they take office. So, the Tea Party hangover? You're going to realize, just like many millions of Americans in this country realized what happened after the election of Obama, guess what? You're going to be experiencing the same thing with the Republicans. Only you don't know it yet.
Gold.